Thomas Chavez, Maverick Marketing.
Yes, sir.
I love that for you. That's a cool name, man. Where did that come from?
Honestly, it just seemed like a perfect time. Like back in January, I literally was just looking around for names, and then I saw Maverick, and then I was like, M&M, Maverick Marketing, and then I just coined the term, went and bought the domain, and I was like,
that's
okay.
Cool. It was available, so you took it?
He said, why not?
Awesome. How long have you been in business?
Marketing overall, I've been doing marketing for about 4 years.
He's like, I've been in the business for 4 years.
But Maverick Marketing itself, I opened it about 4.5 to 5 months ago now.
Nice. Nice. Probably the best decision you ever made, I'm sure. What did you do before that?
You ever had those annoying people come and like knock on your door to get you to like buy solar panels?
Oh my God, oh, you were a door knocker?
Wait.
I was at like the...
You still have a solar guy that you need to close. You need to call his ass today. I'm so upset at you
that
right now.
That guy's going to ignore my phone calls for the rest of his
life.
He's
not calling you back? So no, you were that guy?
I was at the top of the pyramid, that guy.
Nice.
Like I had teams of... you ever heard of like Vivint? They own the Utah Jazz?
No. But I'd love to learn more about it.
Hit me with the Tucker Carlson question right there. So Vivint, they specialize in like home security. They made, they're like a $6 billion company off of literally just door knockers. They're based in Salt Lake City, Utah, so door knocking mecca. But I was a big part of their Blitz organization. So I had like 24 guys that would work for me. And they would fly like me and the 24 guys around the country to like test different markets out before they would send a full team there for the summer just to see if they wanted to send us out there. The first trip I ever like went on, some dude hit me up on my DMs on Instagram. I was like, hey, do you want to go out to Carlsbad, New Mexico and knock on people's door and sell them solar for some stupid reason? I was like, sure, yeah. Yeah, no, I was like, I could have easily just been never seen again. Like, we were like 30-minute drive from like the entrance to Area 51. It was weird.
Dang,
that's
crazy.
That's so cool, though. I've always wanted to go to Area 51.
Yeah, you can. There's Area 15 if you can't make it to 51 in Las Vegas.
No, I want to go to the real thing. I want to see what's going on in there.
They have like a whole they have like a town called like Roswell, New Mexico.
You know? Yeah,
I can
I've been
see
there.
Caitlin at the front door, like, I'm here to see the show.
Knock, knock. Let me in.
Take me. But yeah, Roswell's got nothing going on. It's
no.
Just cool. Yeah, it's very boring. But I made like $35,000 my first, in 5 days of knocking
Whoa.
On people's doors.
How much did you just say?
Like $35,000.
I don't understand
Holy
why you
shit.
Quit.
For real?
So yeah.
Can you call him and ask him if he's hiring?
I'm so confused right now.
So long story short, I continued that, stayed with Vivint for a while. I switched companies to a different company. And so the way that these companies operate, it's like a sales organization and they contract out all the work you sell. So last company I worked with, we were literally only in the state of Illinois because they had a huge state rebate. You could get panels for like 60% off. It was like, hey, you pay $100 a month for power, I can turn your bill into $50 a month. It was like, why would you not do it? It was no brainer. And we did like our best year. We had like right around like 15 million in sales. And then these, I went from making, like, I literally thought I was going to make like 2 million last year. But the installer that they contracted only installed 10% of the contracts we sold. So I was after that,
oh,
I was like,
man,
that
oh,
sucks.
That's why
you
quit.
Yeah, I was like, I'm out of this. It was horrible. I was like the lowest point in my life for like a while there because like I was like that crazy, crazy high. Like you're like top of the world, like nothing could stop you. And then boom. And then and then right after that, I went back to Dallas and I was just trying to like figure out life. My parents have a trucking company, so I was like, maybe I hung out there for like a couple of months. I was like, I might run.
Like they
this.
Drove trucks like across country?
No, they specialize in car hauling. Like originally, like my parents are great people. Like they got married when they were 19 and 20, high school sweethearts. They started a company right out of high school and they've only hauled cars their entire life. And
I'm imagining like the double decker car haulers.
Yeah.
It's like three on the bottom, four on the top, or whatever.
No, now we've got we haul 11 or 11. We can haul up to 11 cars everywhere we go,
Dang.
But typically it's like 10.
To dealerships or wherever, I guess, right?
It's weird. So, like transportation, it's by like weight. So whenever like it's done by weight, we only haul salvage cars because they pay the same as brand new cars, and there's just zero liability for mm-hmm. it. So we're like, we're only, and most of our cars are literally going straight to Houston and being exported overseas. That's our main market. We have like 3 to 5 trucks that go to Houston every single day. And so, yes, yeah, so I literally was like, I was going to take that over. And then my parents are 44 and 45. They're not retiring anytime soon. While I was there, I got my CDL, but then they were trying to, my mom's like, I just want you to get a stable income and a paycheck. And I'm like, no. Like,
right.
I'm like, I remember literally sitting down with my mom and trying to explain to her how, like, me getting a stable income, this is going to sound conceited, but, like, was almost, like, beneath me to a right. certain extent. I was like, it just, my brain doesn't operate that way. I'm thinking of stuff, like, 10, 15 years from now, not, like, right now. I'm like, I just didn't like the idea of, like, just, all right, I show up at 9, I go home at 5. That's literally what she wanted me to do. And they were paying me, like, $20, $25 an hour to do that, and I just hated it. I got my CDL, so that was, like, my insurance policy on life. Like, worst case scenario, I can always go get in a truck, drive. And I was like, I want to start marketing. So I...
How did you know you wanted to start in marketing?
Oh. So I was running ads in the background while I was doing solar. So I was running ads to funnel my closers more leads.
Gotcha.
And so thank you for connecting those dots.
I mean, I got into marketing because I got fired from recruiting, and I needed a job. So it kind of found me. I didn't, like, pursue marketing.
That's fair, yeah. I kind of just was like, I was in the same boat. It was either that or I'm working for my parents.
Right. Because,
like, you need a degree to do just about anything else. A marketer's.
Yeah. I was also in pursuit of the laptop life. So, like, I speak your language where I had a job. I actually started a franchise of a door knocking thing.
Really?
Yeah. I sold kids' toys.
Sweet.
For a fraction of the cost of what they sold for, like, in Toys R Us or Walmart. So it was like remote control cars, coloring books, but even like little flashlights. So this is actually the part I tell people is that I used to sell flashlights at strip clubs. But the premise is like you could sell it anywhere. I mean, I'd even post up at a gas station until I got kicked out, you know. So I needed to figure out how to escape being in the field at that capacity.
No.
So in pursuit of the laptop lifestyle, and I think you subscribe to that. I see you most days with you got your headset on, your headphones.
Yeah.
And your laptop in front of you, and essentially you can work from anywhere. So that was my why. So I would love for you just to go in more detail about like why you made that shift or how you knew marketing was the next step for you.
I think it really just, I've known I've always wanted to start my own company. And I've also, there was a concept I heard probably about like a year ago. It was called a drop servicing. And the base root of it is just...
Like drop shipping?
It's drop shipping labor. So
okay.
Basically outsourcing stuff overseas in simple terms. And I'm like, there is so much talent that's everywhere around the world. I'm not going to just try to focus on building stuff here in America where like the cost of labor is exponential compared to what it is overseas. And I mean, sure, yeah, like obviously overseas, they do have that rep of just not being like the most well-spoken or not having the best critical thinking. And so it was just kind of but we have the same thing here in America. You just have to find the right people. So I just started churning through and then I loved that idea, and I was like, I can actually probably start a good business doing that. I like freedom because at the end of this month, me and all my sisters are going to El Salvador, and I could still work from El Salvador when we're going to visit all of our family that's down there. And I guess my why, I don't really have a good why. It's just I enjoy... It's weird. Like, you ever, like, a lot of people, like, do you like play, Caitlin, do you like playing Monopoly?
I mean, I'm competitive, so yes, but also no, because people don't like to play with me.
I'm the type of person, I absolutely love playing Monopoly. And it's, I kind of have, like, the similar emotion to, like, life and work. It's like a, it's weird, but it's almost like a game to me, almost. Just, I've gone bankrupt already, like, multiple times in sales, and... Sales, I'm sure Alex.
Right.
Is.
Yeah, it's gotten a little weird sometimes.
Listen, I'm just here. I'm just along for the ride, okay?
She's here for a good time.
Yeah.
Not a long time.
But got into the reason I started the company was just I was like, all right, let me see what I can do. And then at first, I was just like a CMO for any company that couldn't afford to like hire a CMO full time. So, like, my first client was literally a tutoring company. And I was like, all right, okay. I literally did everything for them. Their SEO, their websites, their email marketing, their Facebook ads. I mean, everything I did for them. And then after a while, I just kind of looked back in it and I was like, the thing that's actually making them the most amount of money is their email marketing. And the cost of doing it is just so, so cheap. Like, it's like I sourced a list of like 15,000 emails for them of like the top 1% of Dallas. They helped me out with that. And then from that list, we did a campaign to get people to show up at the event that they threw. And off of that event, it went extremely well for them. And we literally just used the email marketing to get people to go there. And attached with a little bit of word of mouth, it was like phenomenal. I was like, interesting. This could probably be built into something more. Plus, a lot of people are just like, email marketing's old. It's antiquated. Nobody really likes it. Like, they're like, oh, it's emails, yada, yada, yada. But anything with sales, marketing, advertising, it's just a numbers game. It's like, all right, what's the cost to purchase this amount of viewership? What's the cost to put on like Facebook? All right, what's the cost to send this number of emails? And so I looked at it, and it's, if you were to purchase, let's say you want to buy like 100,000 impressions on Facebook or something like that, it'll cost you like maybe anywhere from $1,000 to $10,000, depending on how specific your list is or how like defined it is. And to send 100,000 emails, I mean, I could do that for $79 a month on MailerLite.
Like, right. And really, I think you and I are in the same business as it pertains to selling against like PPC. Mm-hmm. I think, and I don't want to speak on your behalf, but like for us, PPC is our enemy, right? It's like when you look at a business owner and they say, oh yeah, well, I run Google ads. You're like, why?
Yeah, like,
you know, we can reach the same audience for a fraction of what that cost would be.
Anytime a business owner tells me like, yeah, I run Facebook ads or Google ads, I'm like, dude, you should let me know which window you throw your money out of, because I'll go sleep outside of it.
Yep.
If you're running ads, it's a complete waste of time.
Like, right.
I always ask them. I love it, because when they tell me that, I'm like, and how's that working out for you?
I bet you.
Every time. and it's the same answer every time. It's the same answer. Not well.
Yeah, not well. Not well. I really got exposed to that 4 years ago. So now we're approaching an election year, right? Or we're in one, I guess, technically. So 4 years ago, we were targeting, not this company, but the company I worked at in marketing, we were targeting oil and gas companies. So we'd pitch them these big ad spends and things like that. But their ad spend on the ad market went from somewhere between $15 to $20 per lead to $200 per lead as it got closer and closer to the election, because all of those large investment firms and family offices were targeting those same people, right? So they were driving up the ad market, and it just got insane. And clients would cancel because they're like, I don't understand the ad market. And we're like, of course you don't, because it's complicated, right? It's like the stock market. So, you know, if more people target fitness centers in Dallas, then it drives up the ad market. And that's what it essentially was doing. So what Thomas has created is a way to attract those same type of people more efficiently, more effectively, and much more cost effective, I think.
Yeah, that's, and so honestly, the big, one of the main reasons I actually like, that kind of solidified my rationale behind getting into it, back in January and February, all of the main email providers like Google, Yahoo, iCloud, they updated their policies, their spam policies. So now, like, let's say you have an email list. You send out 300 emails. If one of those people report your email as spam, your domain gets blacklisted. So, like, one of my clients right now, they experienced this, and, like, what would happen is they would try to send out their suppliers invoices, or try to send their affiliates, like, hey, fill out this link to get paid, and it wouldn't reach the end user because they had tarnished their domain by doing email marketing. And so they had like a list of like 4.3 million people to do email marketing to that they couldn't use at all, because if you can't communicate within a company, it doesn't matter how well your marketing campaign is, you're screwed.
It's like catastrophic.
Exactly. And so noticing that, I kind of instantly like started having conversations with people that I would meet in Discords or online or Facebook groups, Fiverr, Upwork, and I would just try to collect information on, hey, how can we, do you guys have any ideas how we can get around this? And then I would have a couple of conversations with people that were like, oh yeah, this is, like, I have a method for this. So I would hire that person, and then right after that, I would literally just, all right, hire that person, get as much information as I could out of them, And then after a while, I would realize, hey, these people aren't actually, like, they'd be like, they're not as informed as I want. They are actually good at selling. I was like, okay, all right, on to the next one. Over the past, like, probably 4.5 months, I've burned about 120, 150 grand just hiring email marketers and then hiring email marketers and then literally just burning through them. Like, hey, this isn't going to work out anymore. Firing and moving on to the next.
Right.
So I built out my tech stack now and my tech team to where with the Good Energy Company, the campaign that we're about to launch, we're sending 20 million emails a month. The tech stack costs about 10 to 15 a month.
And they're in solar, right? The Good Energy?
So they're
in the solar business,
they're
right?
They're in solar and they're in coffee. So we're going to front load just getting people in, right. Like invested into the coffee. Easy ask. Then after the fact, we're going to do drip campaigns to get people to sign up for the solar. So I have a really good, we have a really good deal brokered with them. But now it's like I have companies coming to me left and right because they all have, if you ask anybody now, like if you pull out your phone right now and you looked at your promotions, if you look at your promotions tab, the amount of promotions that are in your inbox now compared to 6 months ago, it's at least 90% less now than it was 6 months ago because of all the policies that have been updated. And then if you look at your spam, you're going to notice that there's a load more in the spam than there was again 6 months ago because they've gotten really, really good at like filtering everything out. And then with what we've done is we literally string about 10 different pieces of software together in order for us to basically send out these emails and have about a 95% deliverability rate, which is even better than the conventional email tools that like Klaviyo, MailChimp and all those. It's better than those on deliverability, and these are essentially cold emails as well because it's coming from an unknown domain that we have a really, really intricate warming process that we take each domain through to where we can actually send the volume that we need. So like the max I can send per domain is about 200,000 emails a month. And like, for instance, for the Good Energy Company, I have 150 domains lined up. I'm warming about 50 of them right now. Next month.
How long does the warming process take?
It takes about 6 weeks. So
see, and I think that's something where customers that come up, they don't realize that there's a warm-up process. So would you agree, Thomas, that in no matter what marketing mechanism you choose, there it has to be a warm-up process from an algorithmic standpoint so that you don't get blocked or kicked out, right? Because what's the worst-case scenario? Let's say I just start blasting 20,000 emails on a Monday, you know, between 8 and 9. I get all 20,000 of them out. Just boom, hit a button. Boom, yeah, detonate the grenade. That
Gmail... You wouldn't get a single email because you go through.
Right.
If you just like it's like I use this analogy. It's like you ever just taken a pair of shoes out of like a box and try to run a mile on them. Like what would happen to your feet?
That's what happened with my boots. That's why I didn't wear them after that first day.
Oh, boo-hoo.
It hurt my shins, and I thought I couldn't wear boots after that.
And so it's the exact same principle. Like if you were to take a domain right out of the box and try to send 20,000 emails from it, that domain's instantly blacklisted. You can never use that domain till forever. It's completely right. Ruined. But what we do is we basically take that domain out of the box and we condition it. There's a company out of Ukraine, and then we have a warming pools that we use, and we essentially make it seem like it's a part of a Fortune 500 company that's blasting out 50,000 like regular updates and corresponding emails between its clients on a daily basis. That way we can actually get the deliverability. So like whenever we're using it for our own personal campaigns, Gmail's like, oh, this is normal. It's built up the reputation to actually handle that load. And it's still, and then with that, it's a completely new product that we use, and I haven't seen any other email marketing agency do it even to a tenth of the way that we do it so far, which is why I've just been inundated with companies trying to be like, hey, we need marketing, we need more email marketing. So
right.
That's kind of where we're at now.
Can you work not only at the front of the funnel, but in other stages of that? So for example, let's say your customer or your prospect already has something on the front end, whether it's LinkedIn automation or even if it's paid ads. Let's say they run paid ads. The user clicks the image, puts in their information. Can you be in that next stage of the process, or are you only at the front? Like, where can you insert yourself in the sales cycle?
So I'm trying to, I've got an idea of how I want to build out this company, because I've been told it's actually like I have like the MailChimp of cold emailing, essentially, just with like the volume that we can send emails out. A lot of people are like, this is interesting. And so right now I'm just the volume component. I'm the front end. I will bring the leads, funnel them into your system. But my my current bottleneck is with copywriters, because or email copywriters specifically. Email copywriters.
It's okay. We've tested this board. We dropped an entire pint size of Crown and Coke on it on accident. It was a spill. And we tipped it up like this, and it all the water, all the alcohol came dripping out. We let it sit for 2 weeks, and it started working again.
Yeah, see, I don't want to be responsible for that.
So it's rugged. It's rugged.
Still so works like a champ.
Yeah, it works like a champ. So yeah, you were saying, so you're trying to get further and further into that that cycle, right?
Okay, yeah. So basically, to put it bluntly, like imagine I basically have an ESP, an email service provider, basically like a tool to send emails out. I have the infrastructure built. Now, companies want to plug into the infrastructure in order to send their campaigns out that they want. Now, my issue is, all right, I need to write the email copy. I need to write the landing pages. I need to have people build out the automations. And that's a big bottleneck for me. So what I did was I found a whole bunch of Facebook groups, like copywriting groups, Discords, things like that. And I basically wrote a description of what my company did and a little like a vague outline of how we did it. That way people kind of had context for what they were signing up for. And I told them, hey, this is purely commissioned positions. And I put that out on Monday of this week, and I was looking just for copywriters, people that could basically kind of plug in and be almost like account managers. Like, hey, let's say, because I know Alex with Simply Gold, we want to start something here in the next probably month or so. Just depends on how much flow
you guys
have.
Here's the great news. I'm not going to say her name because her head's going to explode if I do. But
it's me.
Fortunately,
kidding.
No, she's not kidding. So, no, so Caitlin's been a large contributing factor to roughly $9,000 of new revenue every single, well, in the last 30, the first 30.
And told then, you that's why you needed to put your money on me. To,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I definitely, even though we are in the automation business ourselves, we're only in a very small part of it, right? And I think our hurdle in speaking to new prospects is educating them on how you really kind of need all of it, you know, not just one thing, right? So I imagine your customers, it's like they're not just using your service.
Oh, no,
they're
not at all.
Complementing it to a lot of the other things that they're doing.
100%. Like, I'm like, this
the
is...
The solar guys are still going to go door knock, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, it's not... I'm not going to sit here and be like, this is a silver bullet to end all of your marketing needs, because like, I wouldn't be pitching you. You would be coming and begging at my doorstep. It's definitely something that accommodates what you're already doing and adds to it. It's like adding a boost to it. That's the easiest way, or like adding nitrous to what you're already doing.
And I feel like we have to constantly remind people that. It's like they sign up for your service, our service, who's ever service in marketing. They expect 2 weeks later, oh, I thought I would already close five deals or whatever, you know. Or I thought they were just going to like, oh my gosh, Thomas, where have you been in my whole life? You know, here's my money and my girlfriend.
Whatever. Yeah, no, I wish. And it for me, it's even harder because it takes 6 weeks to set these campaigns up.
Right.
And so I'm like, I have to sit there and coax people for 6 weeks and have them understand that, like, hey, this does take a while, but it's for a good reason. And then after about the second week, people like kind of get the gist of it. They're like, oh, okay, all right, they understand. But now I'm basically having what I was saying earlier with the bottleneck with copywriters. I put all these messages out in these groups and basically gave a brief outline of what we did, and I kind of gave a vague description of how much commission they would make off of just the Good Energy Company. Which if somebody anyway, it was like a copywriter that making 10% commission will make about 22 grand a month in commission off of just that one project if they're able to convert at 0.03%, like, which is stupid low conversion rate. Like, the industry average is 2.3%. And so after I put the post in there, and I have, like, I literally have my assistant sitting over there combing through applications. I have over 300 applications in my inbox of copywriters. I've been doing back-to-back interviews, and I'm creating like a little network of copywriters that I can basically, hey, they reach out to Alex. Alex, we need this information from you in order for us to set this portion of the campaign up. They understand the brand voice. They're building out they're putting all of the conversion copy, like the word, the stuff that sells it on all of the landing pages. I have the tech team to build them out the landing pages they need. If they want one of like the nice like flyers to like you've ever seen like those informational like emails that have like the flyers on it.
Right.
If the company already has like a built up list that has a good reputation and they want to build one of those out, they can. They work off of purely commission, so they're inclined to do a phenomenal job or else they're just not going to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of, they can talk with my back office team now, and then if they need something done a certain way or a landing page built out a certain way, they can just reach out, get it done in like a 5-hour turnaround time. They can have an entire landing page built out. And I like to do like video landing pages, so I'll have like, for the coffee one, I'll have Aaron kind of get on camera,
yep,
and then shake some ass, and then she'll sell some coffee.
She said, but I'm keeping my clothes on.
But, yeah, that's kind of a...
I think you should do it in reverse. Have her shake her ass first, and then pitch the coffee.
100%.
I know, it's a good hook. 100%. It's a good hook.
Yeah.
100%.
And so, yeah, that's kind of... that's like where we're at now. I mean, ideally, I'd like to get to the point in 2 or 3 years where I can like sell the company, but
yeah, I don't know. I don't think I want to sell. I just want to do this. Like, sorry, hold on. There's a squirrel outside the window of our studio here. The squirrel literally came up, grabbed its nuts, and said, "Bang bang." Have you heard that Kevin Hart sketch?
Good Lord, Kevin.
Have you heard that? Sketch before. Mm-hmm. So he's like I went outside and I looked outside and there was a raccoon and it ran out and it literally looked me in the eyes, grabbed its nuts, and goes bang bang, and then disappears in the night. He's like, I told my wife that, and my wife goes, there's no way a raccoon came up to you, looked you in the eyes, grabbed its nuts, and said bang bang.
I mean, shoot, he's probably eye to eye with a squirrel, honestly. Good Lord.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, Kevin Hart. Yeah. It's weird. I noticed he's been... It's weird seeing, like, all, like, these comedians and people that, like, I grew up watching. They're starting to get, like, grays in their beard. Yeah, I'm like...
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. Brings reality into perspective. Like, oh, yeah. Wait, people do die.
Did y'all watch the Tom Brady roast?
No, I haven't yet. I've seen this get the little clips, but that's about it.
It was so funny. It was good.
Yeah, it was... Are you familiar with Tony Hinchcliffe?
No.
Oh, my God. His was the best. It was so funny. Killer.
Sounds like I should watch this. How long is it?
It's 3 hours almost.
Nope. I'll get through 10 minutes.
Watch. Just look up the YouTube highlights. That's
what I'll probably do. That's my favorite.
It's one of like the few things.
Call them short
like,
movies.
I would definitely say it's like worth like 15 minutes of like your time.
Yeah, I could probably get through 15 minutes.
I thought Nikki Glaser was pretty funny.
Nikki Glaser is funny. Yep.
Her skit on it was pretty good.
I was going to ask. So I guess... With Simply Gold, what was like, Alex, for you, what was like the initial like aha moment to you actually kind of like being like, this is something that we could actually build? Or what was like the initial spark where you kind of like built upon it?
Well, I started the business because I've been in business development all my life. So I've been the door knocker, like what I described, right?
Mm.
And so I needed to figure out a way to exponentiate that growth without working longer hours. So that's why the business started conceptually, was getting obsessed with automation, right? And then where we've struggled is, and I say struggled, I mean like an internal value struggle of, do we add more services or try to become, you know, essentially your textbook marketing firm?
Yeah.
Or do we stay hyper niched in what we're good at and really just own and dominate that product or that offering?
Yeah.
So... that's what we're experimenting with. The demons, we'll call them the demons. You know, the people are like, oh, you know, you really should think about blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, fuck off, number one. Okay. I think it's a bad move. I don't think like we will never get into email marketing. Now we may
damn
offer
right.
it, but we will always say it's Thomas Chavez with Maverick Marketing, and he's an expert at it. You know, so we don't want to tell our customer that, no, we can't
provide them email marketing, but we want to be very clear that it's not us.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a tremendous amount of value only being known as the LinkedIn guys. So we've been following a lot of social media lately that we've been getting attention from because we've got more people out in the field touching more faces and doing more of that. People are literally starting to recognize us as a brand. And you know, somebody will now say, call Caitlin. They literally said, and quote, she's known as the LinkedIn assassin. Right. And I think that's cooler than being like, yeah, these guys are all things marketing. It's like, well, I don't even know what that means. Can they help me? What are they? It's still like, what do they do? I don't understand what they do. So I like being niched in this product offering, but I don't know what the future is. I'm getting pulled in a lot of directions from different people who think they know, and but they're not truly experts. They're just giving opinions.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure, to be quite honest with you. Yeah. We're having a lot of fun right now.
No, 100%. Opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one.
And they all stink.
There we go. Touche. Yeah, no, I knew I always wanted a niche into something, and I was just trying to find something that made the most amount of sense for me to niche into, and I love whenever numbers coincide with, like, instincts that I have, and
right.
I looked at email marketing, and there's a crazy stat for every, honestly, what did me in, it was initially I had a conversation with Alex right around the time that I was kind of thinking about getting into email marketing. And he
not me.
Huh?
Not me.
No, you.
Oh,
yeah.
Me.
Yeah,
okay.
You. I was like, yeah, I'm the guy. So I have.
It was me. It was me for once. Not
this
you.
Guy.
Not you.
He was over there. He was pitching me on like signing up for Simply Gold. I'm like, dude, I have a decent amount of clients. Like I already have more work than I know what to do with currently, just from networking. I'm not sure what I'm doing currently. And so it was around that time, and I had already been having a ton of conversations with email marketers, and I wasn't even trying to niche into email marketing. And then I realized it. I had a list of like 15,000 people that were like top 1% earners in DFW, which would be perfect for LinkedIn automation. And I was like, wait, there's probably about 1,000 other companies in a 5-mile radius that would pay for me just to email market with this list. And I was like, well, what if I could scale it? And then I started doing a ton of research on it. And then a fact hit me from something that I had heard months ago. And it was, for every dollar that you spend on email marketing, the industry averages a $41 return. So I was like, all right, yeah, I'm 1,000% sold on this. Let me figure out how I can corner the market on it. Realized the whole email deliverability issues. I was like, how can I solve this? Spent a ton of money trying to solve it. And then we figured out a way that we could actually do it. We tested it. It worked. And then now I was just like, all right, let's shoot for the hoops. And by just... I've been extremely lucky throughout life, but I've also put myself in terrible situations, mm-hmm. and then luck has gotten me out of it. So here we are today. Like, I'm not going to be one of those people that's like, oh wow, I did everything. It's like, nah,
I have fallen flat. So not only have I lost companies that I've started, I have filed for bankruptcy before as well. I've gone through a lot of tough times to get to it. So it's just shiny right now. Right.
No, yeah.
But there's like a long list of stories that I could tell that are endless. Like I said, I've done some weird shit to make to make payroll, you know, or my bills or whichever. I mean, at one point I was buying a laptop and then like selling it back to get the cash and then like refinancing it and then using that cash flow and then paying it off and like just this cycle of weird money moving, you know, to get started. I also Uber drove 2,500 people. So that's how many trips I've driven to pay for my startups before. So yeah, I mean, like I've done weird shit.
No, it's every entrepreneur has done some like things that they probably would never admit to their mothers in order to get where they're at right now.
Yeah.
So Mom, if you ever listen to this, actually, no, we're not even delving into that.
Yeah, no,
we don't have to talk about it today.
Good Lord. But, yeah, no, it's.
So how do you define like where you've made it? I'll go first so that way I can give you kind of just some help in your answer. So like my definition of success as an owner, where I know I've made it, was even just practice this week. So my biggest customer found out they were going to a conference in New Orleans, and at a drop of a hat, I had the time and the resources. So I had the money and the availability to get my shit packed up and make the trip to New Orleans, do the visit, and come back.
I wasn't responsible to anybody. Now, I took care of my shit, right? I mean, I still did my job, but I didn't have to ask for permission. I didn't have to borrow money from anybody. I didn't have to, you know, there was nothing that got in my way. All I had to do was move some meetings or configure. Or, I mean, dude, I did 10 Zooms yesterday. Now I was at the pool on a rooftop at the Virgin Hotel. But I was in practice, real-world application, like how I defined my success. Mm-hmm. So I came back this morning, literally got back to Dallas an hour before my chapter meeting.
Wow.
But it was, yeah, it was like, yeah, you didn't know, right? I showered this morning. Right. I got new clothes. You know, I'm good
you
to go.
Great energy today, too. I was like,
bro, I had to hype up myself.
He's had like two Red Bulls this morning.
Yep.
That I know of. Yep. Probably more.
But that's in practice because I met this one person before in the past. He was a hyper performer for Herbalife. He had been in it forever, top producer, whatever. And so I remember a conversation I had with him, and I was like, "How do you, you know, what's some advice you would give?" And he's like, "No matter what, it's all good." And he had this like cheesy Jim Carrey smile. And I'm like, what the fuck does that even mean? I had no idea, right? I'm like, I don't know what that means, but whatever. But it's stuck in my brain. And his message to me, it was like, he's like, no matter what you're going through, you will always see me as it's all good. You know, you will always see the best side of me. So no matter what I went through over the last 3 days, is an 16-hour round trip drive to New Orleans, you know, the gas, the miles, the overnight drive, like nobody knows, right? Because I came up today and I performed like I had to, right? And I still did the job. I showed up for my team. I'm available when they need me. I didn't make some bullshit excuses about, oh, I can't, I got to sleep in, or I need to stay off because you don't know what I had to do last week or whatever. So that's how I know I've made it. So
no, that's
your turn.
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
Like, mic drop.
Mic drop.
Yeah, no, that's... I don't know. Yeah. And I honestly, before I like go to like my definition of success, the like weird thing, I feel like people that are all connected to pyramid schemes are always like just hopelessly optimistic, which is something that I actually admire. Like I'm always like, no matter how low life takes me, I will always find a way out of it.
Right.
There's people that are net negatives mentally, and there's also people that are net positives. That like no matter how many negative thoughts, they'll always have enough positive thoughts to like bring them out of it.
There's people in the reverse too.
Yeah, exactly. There's always a balance to everything. But I would say my definite idea of success is I don't know, because I'm really, really enjoying what I do right now, because I enjoy building stuff. I enjoy pulling all of this stuff together, creating a community. I'm about to hire one of my best friends from college who's just a much more organized person than me.
Well, when you're ready to talk about how to manage through that, let me know, because I've hired a lot of my best friends.
He's like one of those people that like... I know for a fact he can take all of the crazy ideas that are going on up here and just put them down and actually put systems in place to execute them.
Right.
Because I know how I want everything to be. I have an idea of it. And it's just the issue for me is just conveying to people like, hey, what I actually need them to do, because I have an idea of what it is, but like verbalizing it sometimes is difficult, because I'm just like, why don't you just get it? And he's the type of person that gets me, understands me. And then, he's also super, super smart. We're like full ride University of Arkansas. It's not much, but graduated with honors. He's got some degree in like business systems. I'm not really sure, but I just know he's qualified to do what I need him to do. Mm-hmm. And then there's probably some business coach that I need to hire. But my thing
you
is
need to talk to Brian Weaver. The best business coach I've ever met, dude. He did a podcast with us. Blew
literally
my fucking
the
mind.
Nicest guy.
Literally the nicest
He's
guy.
He's so nice.
He asked me two questions that just, like, we went radio silent because I didn't know how to answer. I was like, I was not prepared for this. He asked me, what's my relationship with procrastination and what's my relationship with discipline? Had no idea where to start. And then I started, like tear dropping in my eye. Like, I almost cried, dude, because, like, it made me, it forced me. That's what they do. They force you to look at yourself at a particular level, right? To understand where you need to adapt and make changes.
Yeah. There's like all those introspective questions that people ask you to like start
that nobody wants to answer about themselves.
No, they don't. It's like, thanks for asking. Fuck
you.
Fuck you.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah. No,
some, Aaron Pika, same thing. She's like, but why are you here? I was like, cried, dude. Bawled my eyes out. I was like, I'm done. We were in walk-ons.
You're just a sensitive guy.
I am.
It's okay.
I'm a crier. The first year of my company, I cried in the car a lot. It was hard, man. I had like two customers a month that I sold. Like, it was weak. Mm.
But look at you now. Now you're crying tears of joy.
Now I'm crying tears
you're
of
welcome.
Joy.
You're welcome.
Yeah, now you.
Shit. We are welcome.
You're welcome. It's crazy. No, but honestly, like, Alex is a true testament to literally just sticking with it. Because, I mean, like, you started Simply Gold like
January 2021. So 3.5 years ago.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, stick with it.
It took 3 years to get 100 customers. Mm. It has taken 6 months to get the next 75 customers.
Oof. Yeah,
that's how fast it's growing right now.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Caitlin. We got a $1,000 dinner coming up.
Yeah, we do. I told you, put your money on me.
No, yeah, for sure.
I still got 15 days left. I just closed Warren.
How many is that for the month of June?
I don't know.
Yeah, Takio shit.
I'm just saying.
We'll see.
Well, Tommy and I are getting a steak dinner.
Yeah, for context, I bet $1,000 that
we're going to Fleming's on Tuesday here at Sunset.
Good lord.
For context, so Thomas flies in, cocky as shit himself. He's like, I'll bet $1,000. Caitlin's like, oh, okay. Caitlin's all excited.
I got excited because he said his money was on me.
Yeah.
That's why I'm
You're an
excited
person, and I appreciate that.
I am excited. I'm trying to take a galvanizing page out of your book and put it in my own.
How's that going? Is it good?
I think it's going
okay.
great.
All right.
I think it's going That's great. Good. I'm happy. I'm happy to be alive. Happy to be here.
There's really no reason to be pissed. I mean, like, work's hard. Work sucks. Being an owner is no picnic.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and working in a capacity like you are, Caitlin, I mean, it's not fucking easy.
Mm-mm. All my days are sunshine and rainbows. So. Seriously, though, so far, I mean, I don't think I've had a bad day yet.
No, I don't think so. She has stressful moments. Like, she texted me the other day, and she's like, oh, my God, these clients, you know, they're freaking out because they don't understand digital.
They don't.
Like,
they don't.
You know, I know you deal with this all the time. You know, they call you, and they're like, what the fuck? Like, I thought I was going to get all my money back in ROI in 2 days. And you're like, no one said that.
Yeah, I'm two seconds into reading the content you wrote, and I hate it.
Oh, yeah. So, no
Even
name.
Even though we wrote it
no
three
name.
Times.
Wrote it while he was there. He's like, oh, my God, genius. I love it. Package it up. Let's go. Emailed it to him yesterday. He's
hated
like,
it.
I hate it. And we're like.
He said, if I'm 2 seconds into reading this and I hate it, what are the people that are actually reading it going to think?
Meanwhile, his peer in the same industry company as well is crushing it.
New York Life. But is it?
No, it's... we can't say, actually.
Never mind. Talk about it off mic.
Good Lord. That's... Oof.
Insane in the membrane. So, it is what it is. Thomas, how do people get in touch with you? How do they work with you if they want to? What's the next step in being your customer?
Honestly, it's just email me, thomaschavez@maverickmarketingllc.com. And... I mean, honestly, like right now I have a wait list of about 13 companies that are trying to start projects with me.
Damn,
that's
look
why
at you.
I'm literally doing the, that's why I'm like, that's why I'm sourcing all the copywriters currently, because it's the copywriters, I just need them to basically, hey, talk to my clients. What do you guys need? All right, do the research. The copywriters that I'm hiring right now, they've got 5 to 12 years of experience right now. And so just for getting them to plug in to my system and then talk to the clients and then getting paid off commission. A lot of them are kind of like, at first they're like iffy on it. They talk to me and they're like, okay, now we understand. Just because, I mean, I have the capacity to send for 10 grand a month. I can send 20 million emails to like B2C, which B2C is a lot more expensive than B2B. B2B right. is actually a lot cheaper than you would think.
Right.
But B2C is extremely, extremely, you're going to run Facebook ads to get 20 million impressions on Facebook, shoot, you're looking at like $500,000 easily. Like, that's expensive. But if
you're writing all this down, this is what's going to take your shit to the whole nother level. If you can data dump this kind of crap,
No, but I'm listening. Can you send me the audio when we're done? I'll literally listen to it until I memorize it.
Actually, if you upload this conversation to there's an AI that I use called Fireflies.ai.
Mm-hmm. It's that similar to Fathom, right?
Yeah, basically transcribes the entire conversation. Yeah,
yeah. Puts it in a bullet point, summarizes it. Yeah. But, but what I need you to do is put this on at night when you're asleep and let it like soak into your brain. Kaylin's got some good one-liners.
You gotta send me the audio.
Yeah,
first.
She said some fire stuff just like randomly out of nowhere.
And don't even realize I said it. I told him a comedy joke one time and I didn't even realize. No, not yet. I'll still eat it.
She's yelling at the other. But
you can't cover your mic and then yell across all the others.
Yeah, guys, I got.
No, but here, let me tell you this one-liner that I had. I told Alex this comedy joke and never even realized it. We were talking to somebody who was from Wisconsin, and Alex is like, "Have you ever been to Wisconsin?" I'm like, "The furthest I've been north is like Arkansas," and he was like, "That's a comedy joke, right?" And no, I was being 100% serious. I've never been that far up north, but he thought it was hilarious. And I was like, no, this is straight facts.
Yeah, she said some funny things. She goes, she like left the office. She goes, I'm going home. If you need me, just don't.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
What I taught Alex how to say, what is it? All facts, no printer.
All facts, no printer. That's a good one.
Yep. I think I'm too young to know what that means.
No, how old are you?
Guess. You don't know how old I am?
I don't.
26. That's my guess.
You think I'm 26?
No, 24.
No, he's got to be like 24.
24.
I'm 22.
Yeah, let me tell you.
Oh, so you're right at the right age to know what all facts, no printer is.
Somebody told me today about you. They're like, he looks like he's lived a long life, which is a positive. Like he was saying that you've done a lot of things and therefore you speak very intelligently. Yeah. Phil Anderton told me that today.
Oh, I love that guy. He's actually going to be the face of a campaign for me, actually. But it's weird just because I guess it's growing up with parents who own a company. I literally have been working since I was 8 years old. Like I was in a ditch around a trucking complex picking up trash with like one of those weird little grabbers.
Yeah.
Picking up trash out of a ditch for 12 hours a day. I made $20 a day for the first 10 years, first like 5 years of me working. And then it got to the point where I literally, like, I was in charge of the maintenance for the entire fleet of semis that we had. And I would basically go through and make sure that all of them were running and they had everything they need in order to actually run their trips the next week. So it was, I got a lot of forced responsibility. And I, like, every kid was like, oh my gosh, I hate my parents, like for all the stuff. But like now it's like, it's probably 95% of the reason of who I am today.
100%.
So, I mean, I really I tell them all the time, like, I'm thankful to them for it, but like, also fuck them for that. if she ever listens to that, like, I don't know, we had like a big bad falling out like 6 months ago, and then like we like made up because I'm like I don't want to live life like being mad at my parents, because it's like, these are literally the people that birthed me. I'm not gonna like sit here and like hold animosity towards them.
Yeah.
Like, be mad at somebody. Being mad at somebody for doing something is like being drinking poison and hoping the other person
I'm never
dies.
Mad. I don't
like
think it's. I think being mad is a character flaw. It's 100%. A sign of low intelligence. So like by just it's like you're so incapable of controlling your own emotions. So that's a you problem.
Why are you looking at me?
I'm just saying. You say I don't get mad. That's the reason I don't get mad.
I don't get mad. I do get mad.
I don't get about,
I can't
mad
help
about
it.
Anything.
I can't help it. Even if I don't say it, this face is going to say
it. I mean, I
if
get
I don't
frustrated,
actually come out and say it, my face will.
I definitely get frustrated, but I don't get mad or angry. I just don't have the time for it.
I know. It's just, it's, yeah.
It's a time suck. What am I going to do? Get mad, then what?
Like, it's literally like, somebody said this. I'll say it again, too, because it's really good. Being angry at somebody else is like drinking poison, hoping the other person dies. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to solve anything. Like, you're literally just hurting yourself than actually hurting them. If you're mad, go confront them, talk about it. Like, if it's a rational reason. 95% of the reasons that people are mad, it's stupid and you're in your own head and you don't understand the context of what's actually going on.
Right.
So that's why I'm like, you should. Like, I'm like, people have lives. Like, good Lord, it was actually bad. I used to go on a tear and like fire. I remember I like was churning through the marketers, and I would get like pissed off at some of them and just like go off on them and like be yelling at them just for stupid stuff. Just, I mean, it was their fault, 1,000%. But it's like afterward, I'm just like, you know what? It's just easier to just send them a text message, hey, this isn't going to work out, and then move on, find another one, instead of just sitting there outlining everything that they've done wrong. Because that's just a lot of negative energy that I don't want to carry around. But yeah.
And that's our show, everybody. Thomas, man, it's such a pleasure to have you here at the Shark Club, which is where our networking event is. Yeah, man, you've become a great friend. Truly have a lot of respect for your business and where you're headed. And I think we should do this again in like this same time next year. And we'll just track your progress and see where you've grown and go from there.
I'm definitely down for it,
man. I really appreciate it. One more time, shout out your website, how to get in contact with you.
My website's maverickmarketingllc.com. You can email me at thomaschavez@maverickmarketingllc.com. And my phone number is 214-707-7504 if you want to text me.
Awesome, man. I really appreciate it. See you next time.
As always.